right and the left. That's correct, you are.
Because you're living on a line. It's a linear expansion in this direction and the other one. It has infinite length but infinitesimal girth. Timeline Earth, only one dimension for you to meet your friends.
So you've been out of the loop for a while. Let me catch you up with the latest happenings. Been a little bit of infighting with the in group and some of the periphery. Nothing.
You know
that
what's
I
good?
Caused,
can
or...
I say before you continue? Just to say, I was gonna stop you and go, are you gonna tell me about like inside baseball stuff? Because like our listeners don't know. And then I was like, wait, no, all of our listeners are basically in group. So this is great. So anyway, please continue. Yep.
Yeah, there was an insult leveled at somebody, and somebody that we normally don't like. And
I saw this.
Some offense was taken to that, and it was in poor taste. And I just want to let you know that you know, in the spirit of Lent, I was offered $10 to call a autistic orphan a n***, and I didn't do it.
I saw that. I peeped into the group chat. So every day I have to go in and I put a tweet or two in, and I'll check the group chat just to see what's going on. And I saw that today. And I saw that you refrained from that. And so this is a very interesting discussion, I guess. But so for your part, it's hard to...
I exercised restraint. You should be proud
of me. It's hard to say. And well, okay, so I am.
I mean, how much prodding do you really need to get me to do something like that, though?
I am proud of you for refraining from it, in a sense. But the general consensus that I saw in the chat was that your statement was funny. And I read it, and I looked at it, and I was like, I'm glad you didn't post that, because I didn't think it was funny. Like, you know what I mean? Like you know what I mean?
Different strokes for different folks.
No. Just, I'm saying there's two different issues. Is you refrained from dropping an N-bomb on a tweet about a person whose family member passed away. And that's great. And that's something that you definitely should be praised for refraining from doing.
See, that's all I want from this program. I feel like it's just a little bit of equity.
I'm trying. But I feel like... But I feel like the general spirit of the fact that you would use the situation to crack a joke is still like, oh, man. That to me, and everybody was like, but that, look, that's funny. And it's like, I guess the joke's funny, but if it was me who was in that position, man, I wouldn't find it funny one way or the other.
Yeah, you just have to turn your empathy off. It's pretty easy.
situation that we're alluding to, I don't think we need to explain it at any depth. I think a lot of people who follow most of us probably know what the situation was, but I already explained enough of it for the conversation. Like, the thing was, some people were like, it wasn't funny to make the joke. Other people were like, hey, you're allowed to say whatever you want. And I think, once again, the two sides of I can do what I want and hey, but you can't be an asshole are clashing once again. And I always unfortunately stand on the side of, hey, but you can't be an asshole. You know what I mean? And and people go,
and
so you hate free speech and so you hate freedom and liberty. And of course, those are stupid things to say, because in reality, what you hate is hurting other people's feelings in your case, but like, that's just me. And then other people are like, but it's funny to be rude. And then yes, it is.
Yeah.
But that's not my thing. That's just not, you know,
see, I put it out that on the one hand, like burying a 15-year-old autistic minarchist probably doesn't have a whole lot of utility. You know, he's not a blue check. He doesn't have any big following or anything. I don't even care
about the particular phenotypical shit. Like autistic kid, men are. I don't. Who cares? You know.
Yeah.
Who cares?
This is my Marxist brain clicking away.
It's your Frankfurt School intersectionality brain kicking in is what it is.
It is, yeah. On the other hand, this is kind of a preview to just how much affinity do right-wing anarchists really have with minarchists? And from what I've seen, I mean, there's still a lot.
Why with minarchists? What does this have to do with the political ideology?
Well, he had a... I mean, his whole shtick was that he's a minarchist.
But I don't. But do you think people are defending the guy because? Do you think they're defending the guy?
I think there's a certain level of intersectionality that some right wing anarchists have with minarchists more than others. Because I mean, we all started off as minarchists, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Most of us started out as minarchists, as capital L libertarians.
I don't. There are very few people who go from "I like the state" to "I hate every aspect of it."
Yep, it's the 6 month joke.
It's a little hard. Yes, took me a year and a half.
Yeah,
it was a little slow.
It took me, I don't know, probably roughly 6 months, and then. You know, I was an ANCAP for 6 months.
How long did it take to turn into a Marxist-Leninist?
About 6 months. I'm on a 6 month ideology rotation.
So it's a 1 year wash through.
Yeah,
from
yep.
from and going
said,
from
yep, the
anarchist.
Road well traveled.
I'd like to imagine that maybe at one point we could get to a point where we represent the three stages of that, where maybe I could play as the minarchist, Carr stays anarcho-capitalist, and you become just full-out Marxist-Leninist. We represent...
And we still brand ourselves as, like, a libertarian podcast.
Oh, it would be amazing, yeah. That would be good. And we, like, do what we do is I'll present every topic... Carr will see us through the topic and you offer us the solution. So we offer, like, every episode, we show how the progression works real time.
Yeah, I just thought it was an interesting observation, like a little microcosm of, you know, if you're into what's going on with, like, the LPMC, you're going to see, like, these dynamics play out between, like, paleos and pragmatists and minarchists and anarchists, and you hope for solidarity, but you watch out for, you know, those what do you call it? Those what's that Marxist word? Those contradictions.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I get you. I don't agree though. I don't know if I don't agree. What I wanna know is so the situation is tragic event happens, person felt the need to post about it. Maybe a mistake, definitely a mistake.
Yeah.
If there's a tragic, and here's the other thing, we're all assuming, okay.
We're all assuming that
I wish
it's
I could
real,
do this thing where I could like,
aren't.
I wish that I did could do this thing where I could write down in real time my thoughts and hook them and cast them off somewhere and then draw the line back.
Yeah, Neuralink.
Ready to.
It's coming.
Good. I need that, Musk. Get to it. I need that. So. The issue for me, that why I don't agree with you is because to me, it's a tragic situation. Somebody felt the need to defend the guy, and I don't think anybody is holding their nose to do it. Do you know what I mean?
I think
when someone sees somebody making a really in poor taste is probably the best way to describe it. Comment about somebody as a quote tweet to a post where that person is basically talking about how a family member has just passed away and another one is not far behind. Mm-hmm. That I think people saw that and felt the need to defend it because they would want to be defended in the same situation. should something like that happen. Yeah, I don't think people are defending it because I don't. And, well, and no, well, I think you probably agree with me on that. But what, to address your point, I don't think anybody who has that urge is doing it and also grappling with themselves, you know, plugging their nose and going, he's a minarchist, but I would do this because I want him to do this for me. And anybody, I think, who thinks that way is a Marxist and is a demented weirdo.
Yeah, that's me.
Yes.
All I see is like people expressing solidarity with ideologies, not people.
Yes. What you've convinced yourself of, and this might not even be incorrect, but it's demented until it's proven to be true, and then when it is, I'm the demented one. But it's the whole egregore idea that there's like ideologies become real and they start like everybody is just a puppet to them. And I used to think that, and sometimes I still do, but it's only when I feel weird, like I'm feeling weird, you know. Like, I only go to that when I'm like, oh, there's something going on. There's some creature that's taking control of these people's minds. Like, I guess. But ultimately, what I saw was a situation where there was just a general human empathy that was expressed on one side.
Yeah, we got to get rid of
that. That wasn't expressed on the other side. I don't know. This is the clash between principles and practice. Yes.
Yeah.
is you have this idea of, you know, I can say what I want, and if I define it as a joke, you have to either find it funny or ignore it.
Yeah.
And that...
Like, see, I ignored it because I didn't find it funny. And then, like, I got some DMs, you know, hey, you should block this guy, or hey, thanks for not, like, jumping down his throat. Like, I got DMs about it, and I'm like, I can't...
Wow.
I can't have a strong opinion about it. I just can't bring myself to... Because, I mean,
I can't either.
I just went saying like 2 days ago, minarchists are just as much of an enemy as like progressives. Like, they're just as much of
but
a
you're doing the thing again.
Progress. Yeah,
but you're
am.
Doing the thing. Well, okay, I but I see why. Because your whole, because I guess because one of the ways that you move yourself forward is in that frame. See, that's the problem to me with ideologies generally, is that like you end up getting like, okay, my goal becomes to do this, and some, I don't know. And if that's what you want to do, that's fine. Yeah. For me, when I see it, I just see like a human level of empathy.
Unfortunately, but
I mean,
I'm too deep in the game to get out. I'm too deep in the cave.
What you've done is you've released your personal identity into the Gorb, and now you're concerned about defending the Gorb more than yourself, because I think sometimes One of the responses that you get is you want to go, fuck, I want that guy to be defended, because if that guy made that shitty comment about me, I would want people to come and defend me.
Yeah.
And you don't have the first part.
Yeah.
Because you don't have the second part.
Yeah, there is no me. There is only the party.
There is only Gorb. If you're reading the grand scheme, as in if your goal is within a class-based system, then you got to look at things through a class-based lens. But the only thing I would say is don't assume everybody is looking at it in that framework, because I do think some people...
That's what I'm trying to fix. I'm trying to make everybody see it that way.
I think some people are just... egoistically, I think some people are just egoistically approaching it.
Yeah.
And going, if that was my situation, I would want to be defended, so I will defend this person. Because I don't think you can have an altruistic sense of this.
Yeah.
For a stranger who you don't know. At best, I think you're doing is using that person who you don't know as a vehicle to be a savior. You know, so you can feel good about yourself being a savior. Mm-hmm. I don't think for someone you don't know, you can ever be altruistic really towards them. It's kind of just doing it for yourself. And nobody knows that guy, from what I understand. Nobody who the situation was bad about. Nobody
I've seen
knew
some past,
that guy.
Some past adversarial interactions within like our group and him and his group. But nothing like mostly just the other... doing what we do, argue about theory and definitions.
And I think that sometimes gets in the way a little bit of people's humanity, but you don't know your humanity to anybody either, so it doesn't matter. What I would recommend, usually what I recommend in these situations is, it's kind of, I don't know how to describe it, but this is usually my solution to most problems is, well, maybe you shouldn't have posted it.
Yeah. Yep.
If
that's always the solution. Just don't post it. Knowing full well lots of people who live online,
and there's lots of people who only have friends online, so they have to post stuff. Maybe make a DM group.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, avert the situation before it happens. Because once it's in effect and somebody's made the comment that hurts, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? It's just people are just going to argue about it. And then one side goes, that was really mean for you to say that. You're an asshole. And the other side goes, I'm allowed to say what I want. Free country.
Yeah.
And it's like two totally different arguments spawn, and they kind of only argue so that the side doing the arguing can feel better about itself.
Yeah.
It's kind of useless. I would say in the future, if you have a personal tragedy and you don't need money for it, don't post online about it.
Yeah.
Or don't post in public about it.
Yeah.
Probably just
make
keep that to a DM group.
Where you
of,
can control your
I don't
environment.
Think anybody, yeah, I don't think anybody would be upset if you included them in a DM group where you were like, hey, I'm going through a really tough time. And if they would be upset, you probably shouldn't have included them in the DM group. And now you know better in the future.
Yep.
You know, pick your people better.
Pick
your people better.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not in the habit of telling people what to do, but I definitely think that if you had a goof in any sense about that guy, you know, about that guy's tweet, I always look at it and I go, man, I wouldn't. That's just me.
Yeah.
Who you want? I don't give a shit.
Yep.
Who cares?
Yeah. I mean, at the end
I
of
also,
the day,
like,
I agree
like
with
you,
you that
I ignored it.
Just, yeah, exactly. I ignored it until I was asked my opinion.
I ignored it. Yeah. And you just asked me. And so I said it.
Yep.
You know, so and otherwise I wouldn't have talked about it.
Yeah.
that's it. And now we can bury it back to a place where everybody gets to make up their own mind. Hey, you know, do what you want. This is the internet. We can't control it. That's why it exists. That's the point. You got to deal with it. Sorry. Personal responsibility.
I agree.
Minarchist should know that. Let's be honest. Because when I think minarchist, even though who came up with that? Konkin came up with that term?
Yeah. Popularized it.
That idea has been around a lot longer than there was a term for it. And those people have always been associated with libertarians.
Yeah, classical
like
liberals.
First and foremost. More than... Yeah, right. So... Also, one thing that those people are supposed to be stressing to and the nth degree, probably the foundational principle is personal responsibility. And
yeah.
So that's probably the best advice that I can give is exercise your personal responsibility to not allow situations like that to happen in the first place. And then you won't have to feel bad if somebody insults you. But I think that guy's probably doing, you know, worse because of the situation than anybody's personal insult. And I think a lot of other people got up about it for their own sake and also because they just kind of like sometimes you just want to defend somebody, you know, and that's fine, whatever you want to do. But I think it ends up blowing it up larger than it probably needs to be in any circumstance to the point where we're talking about it on the show.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, I hope fences are mended and that, you know, everybody can live happily ever after and,
you can't have my tax money. I don't care who, you know, that's the other thing, right? Is you can't have my tax money. You know, I don't want you to have it in any sort. Whoever you are, whatever you believe, at the end of the day, you can't have my money.
Now, I want your tax money, though. That's the problem. I want my $2,000. I don't
want
my $1,400. I want my fucking $2,000. So
we didn't get,
I see
so
that $1,400 is going to hit my account. I'm wondering where the fuck the $600 more is going to come.
Did this $1,400 hit your account?
It's pending right now for...
You can see it?
What's today? Today, actually...
You can't see it.
No, actually, I'm sorry. I do have my $1,400 because it is... March 17th. It is March
17th. So you saw it in your account?
Yes. Yes, on this Wednesday, March 17th.
So here's the problem, Aaron. I think I'm getting a stimmy this time.
Ooh.
I looked at the rules. I looked at all of the requirements and the restrictions. I think I'm getting a stimmy this time.
There's no way, because you make over 80 grand a year. I know this.
Thanks, buddy. I really appreciate that. That's good. That was like you. That's a wingman move. What you? That was good. Do that again in the future when you know when we're together, when the bar.
When we're out
hit me with one of those.
Bitches.
Like I know you make slightly more money per year than the average person, buddy.
You have a slightly above average dick. I know this. I've seen it. Oh hi.
Listen, that's it's. Listen, I've always been of the opinion that
ladies.
If you're gonna make up a fact about somebody, you always wanna put it in the just believable enough category.
Yeah.
You never wanna go into the unbelievable category. It's too risky for me.
You don't have an 8-inch dick. You have a 6.5-inch dick.
No. Six point seven on a day when I drink a lot
good.
Of Gatorade. Pretty good.
When you're vascular.
Anyway. Yeah, when I got a lot of salt running through
vascular.
My veins. Yeah, that's right. All right. What I would say is I'm a little suspicious because the money hasn't shown up in the account yet.
No, it is Wednesday, so the money is in my account, and I've already paid off credit card debt with it.
How do you know that it's there on Wednesday?
Because on Monday, today. I looked at my account and saw a pending deposit for March 17th.
So a pending deposit, right?
Mm-hmm. In my motherfucking account.
I'm taking a strong look right now at my pendings, and I don't see jack fucking shit.
Well,
so
good old Joe's going to have to get fucking smacked up again, I guess. I don't know when he's going to learn.
I am losing my patience with Joe about the fact that I can't. Donald Trump didn't give me my money. None of it. I don't know how much people got. I don't remember. How much did you get? Did you get 600 two times?
Yep. 1,200 and then six, I think.
$1,200 you got and then 600 is what you got?
Yep. That's correct.
Okay. I got zero fucking dollars under the Trump administration. Zero dollars under
the
Trump
administration. Yeah, but it's Trump. He told you straight up, you're not getting your fucking money. Joe, on
he
the
did.
Other hand, said, hey, I'm going to give you $2,000 in your hand right now if you just vote for
That's
me.
Right.
When you vote for
That's
me,
what
it'll
I was
be
getting
in your
to.
Hand.
He, this guy said I was getting my money. And I wasn't concerned about you getting your money because I knew you were going to get your money. You got your money before. You're going to get your money. But I didn't get my money before. And it is starting to look like I'm not getting my money this time. And I am livid, to say the least, about the fact that I'm not getting my money.
This all goes back to Rudy Giuliani cracking down on organized crime. And now all these fucking grifters and deadbeats can go around promising all kinds of things and not get fucking punched in a back alley. Not get their wives threatened.
I like the idea that we blame Rudy Giuliani about this, but I also want to just kind of pinpoint it on Joe right now because we want to get Joe.
Yeah.
Because Rudy's, have you seen him lately?
Yeah, he definitely got his.
He's a wreck. He got his.
Yeah,
he did.
We can't fucking,
there's a hell on earth situation there. No, I still want it on my TV show when that comes out with my $80,000 a year production.
Yep.
Well, on my podcast, I'm still going to read Homo Thug, the book about Rudy. I still have it planned. It's coming up, but maybe we could do like Homo Mick.
Hey,
I don't know. You know what
can
I like?
Tell
let's
you
talk about
that's
Joe.
That's gonna make you very angry.
What's that?
I start a job next week. Next week.
Oh, I saw this too.
Which will...
I know, I already know what you're going to fucking say.
Which will make me not eligible for a stimulus with these current limitations.
Yeah, I was aware. I saw the payments. Yeah, things keep going up for you.
Yeah, I'm just stacking
things
W's.
Keep going up for you.
You know, smoking
really
crack
are.
wasn't that bad of a decision, I guess. I'm a functioning
it's,
crack
yeah,
addict.
You sure are. You and Hunter.
It's really unlocked
just
my
you
potential.
Too.
And kids, if you want to unlock your potential, hit up that rock.
Hit up the rock. What can I say? We're not here to teach anybody anything. Hit up the
hit
rock.
Hit up Joe Biden and hit up that rock.
Hey, Joe. Hey, wait, I need to get Mike to hold on. See, this is where it comes in handy, my friend.
This is it.
All right.
Hey, Joe, give me my fucking money.
Tired of it. I want my money. I want my, what else do I want? Weren't we, at some point, weren't we supposed to get state-mandated girlfriends, or was that just a conversation? I thought there was something in the works.
Some election scheme. Something to get the fucking incel vote. Lock that in.
That was it? How big do you think the incel vote is?
How many unique users does Reddit have?
Oh, you got them.
Oh.
There we go. Boom, you got your Reddit insult in. I like that.
Yep.
I like that one. The one thing we agree on, we don't agree on much. The one thing we agree on is that we hate Reddit. Yeah, who's next?
Who's next?
Did I miss anything else? Did I miss anything else while I've been gone? I'm still gone, by the way, but I'm secure, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. You're allowed to break your fucking Lent fast every once in a while.
A little look in.
Yeah. How's Lent going, by the way?
Nothing else, though?
No,
good. You know, it's I'm doing a few things. I don't like to talk about it until it's done, but yeah, I'm doing a few things. I'm trying to isolate myself as best as possible besides the few things that I have to still go online for. And
are you going
to
become an ascetic?
Doing a lot of reading. You know, it depends.
You might as well.
On whether I don't know because those guys well, let's face it, they don't get any pussy.
I mean, I mean, how's that going for you?
Well, it's
are you,
it could be worse, but if
are you fighting
I
your way to Mount Athos, or are you just kind of skipping down the lane to it?
I don't know. I don't know what that even means. I'm not sure I want to make a commitment to give you an answer to that.
Mount Athos is the most prominent monastery. It's in Greece. It's like an ancient monastery for Orthodox ascetics.
Oh, well, I'm not going there.
Little history lesson.
Well, I'm not going there. If I'm going anywhere, I'm going to go to some...
You're not going to become Orthodox?
No, I'm not doing... Ordo dogs. No, I'm not doing it. No, I won't ever do it. Not doing it. Sorry, guys. Fuck, what was I saying? I don't remember. I got the brain. I have a chickpea brain. See, that's a problem, guys, is don't smoke weed because you have a chickpea brain. And that's...
Oh, you didn't give up weed for
what
Lent? Wow.
No, actually, I didn't because I gave it up for the first 3 months of the year for a different reason. And then I was like, this is not a crutch, which it's not, but it can become one when I'm podcasting. It certainly can become one. Oh my god. There was another thing that I want an illustration about. It's a little old at this point, but it's something that I only got to see a cursory glance of. Apparently it was really big. Ace, friend of the show, recently, not too long ago, he got into like this mega beef with these neoconservatives. Right? You remember this?
He did, yeah. Oh, yeah. How could I forget?
So
it was plastered all over my timeline.
It was everywhere.
Raising my blood pressure.
Oh, yeah? See, now why does that raise your blood pressure?
I just... for me, like, the only approach to those people is fuck off. There's no conversation to be had. Your kids are all going to be transgender, Muslim, half black, obese, purple hair bitches that'll load you onto a train car.
I don't know how to censor any part of that one, so I might just let it go. All right, I get it. I kind of.
Thanks, I appreciate it.
Yeah, I might just let that one go because there's no way I can keep the essence of it. without touching, I'm gonna leave it there. What I would say to that is, none of those guys will have kids because they're all gonna be virgins until the day that they die. So, yeah. That's true. Where I'm going with it. I saw that. You know, again, I keep a watchful eye. I watched. I saw it. Listen, podcast or solidarity, guys. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm glad they have a podcast. Yep. That's all I'm gonna say. But it was really interesting to see that there is hard to explain this. But tell me if you notice it. There's this contingent. Okay, so in the 2000s, you had your Cheneys and your Bushes. And you knew that there was this intellectual movement that had established itself in the seat of power in American politics. And there was some inkling that this group was called neoconservatives because there was already a movement, Irvin Kristol, and, you know, it started and it grew and they took power. And they didn't call themselves neoconservatives, from what I remember. But now,
yeah, I don't remember them ever referring to
themselves as neoconservatives.
Either.
But now, there's a noticeable number of profiles, and that's all I'm going to refer to them as, that are neoconservative in identification, nominatively neoconservative, calling themselves neoconservative,
yeah, unapologetically neoconservative.
As if it's an established movement and not just a very small thought collective of a few guys, which it always was. It was always a very elitist collection of thought leaders. But now it's this like, oh, I'm a neocon. Hey, most of them aren't old enough to serve in the military. First of all, not that you need to be in the military to be a neoconservative. In fact, the trend seems to be the opposite.
And even if they were, most of them would not be able to pass the minimum fitness standards.
That is even more relevant than what I said, because then most of them will be like, I'm actually 21. You still won't pass. Just saying.
Yeah.
Number two.
You got to do 38 push-ups.
Number three.
Fucking cut it.
The actual beliefs, the collection of beliefs, are from the 2000s, which I think is very strange. That there's almost like these kids, a lot of them, are calling themselves neoconservatives and are living out an ideology that is basically cobbled together what we know about the Bush era. It's a weird, like, not of this time belief system. Very strange.
It definitely doesn't seem organic at all.
No.
I'm not going to say that they're feds.
No. It just doesn't seem organic.
It
seems like it was read about.
Out of all the paths.
Yeah.
Yeah. Out of all the paths that, like, Zoomers can take, like, with, you know, being an ethno-nationalist, being a communist, being an anarchist, it's hard for me to wrap my head around being a neocon.
Yeah.
It's like something that Zoomers would be naturally attracted to.
That's kind of what I believe too. Now, the fact is that they do exist and I believe that they're genuine in a sense. Like, I believe that they believe what they're saying.
It warrants further study.
Yeah. That's all I would say is, where is that
Belief
system coming from? Why are Zoomers attracted to neoconservatism, but not actually neoconservatism, as if it would have continued to exist after that cadre of guys got out of power? as if it was a thought. So
yeah,
you know how we talk about Marx before the second working man's, when he had died and Lenin made Marxism?
Yeah.
So like when Bush and such were around, it was still like as if Marx was alive, and there was this organic movement of like, I don't want to call them scholars, but the neoconservatives were not dumb guys in any sense. But they,
no, not at all.
That was the organic side that was real. And then almost like Caesar getting killed and not planning a future, those guys lose power, and they don't just lose power because Bush's 8 years are up. They lose power because everything starts to change and people become really against the whole idea of America being the policeman of the world. And so that idea kind of falls apart. And remember that the idea is connected to a cadre of guys, as in it's almost like an ecclesiastical group, like priests, you know, like I know this, I tell you this, now you know this. Today, 2021, where we're at, there's this group that has come into existence calling themselves neoconservatives. They're not unified. I think it's a bunch of different people, and they all find one another online. A lot of them are attracted to some of the ideas that they read about, find one another online, and it becomes a group. And they call themselves neoconservatives. And it's really weird to me. It's just a weird, it's because none of them had any personal kind of contact with any of the guys who were actually what they're calling the first neoconservatives would have been, the people who are actually talking about, you know what I mean? They just kind of, from a distance.
I wonder if somebody like distilled Project for a New American Century into like a catchy YouTube vid with like, you know, PewDiePie aesthetics.
Right.
They all watched this separately and were like, wow, that really speaks to me.
That's how modern ideology is built a lot of the times. It seems today is you have a bunch of PragerU brains where a bunch of people who don't necessarily believe anything in particular when they're very young, they'll come into the movement in one way or another, any movement, one way or another, and they'll, let's just say, let's use me as an example. So I fall in after George Carlin and I become a what I call a libertarian at the time. And at some point or another, I start to watch Steven Crowder and PragerU stuff, and I start to mold into kind of a conservatarian, like mold into it.
Yeah.
Right? That seems to be how most people's belief systems are like built up today at the very start, I guess. Because it would seem like the other way to build up your ideology would be to know a person who's already in it in person and to have your entire kind of worldview built up with the knowledge of that person. So like someone like I've learned a lot from a few professors that I can think of. That's not the internet. I didn't seek out a particular kind of information or topic. I knew a person and they communicated a way of thinking to me that I organically sucked up. You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? And I'm not, and again, I don't even want to necessarily call any of these guys faking it. I really believe they believe what they're saying, but it seems so inorganic. Like, as you said, inorganic. And it seems like it's inorganic because it's got to be grafted from YouTube videos. Yes, it's an anachronism. That's what I'm saying. It's dated. It's very strange. And this is none of this, by the way, this is all ad hom, as far as I understand it. None of this is actually talking about any of the pragmatic stuff about what they believe. And I'm okay to admit that because that's fine. But that's what struck me as so strange about the group. Is it seems so anachronistic. Yeah. What they believe...
I would love to know, like, their etymology.
Yeah, their ideological That's etymology. Right. Or their... What did Nietzsche call it? Ugh, fuck. Is it genealogy? Like, where they come from? Something like that? Yeah.
Their phrenology.
Yes.
I'd love to know their phrenology.
Yeah. And it's... You know what's weird, too, is a lot of them are, like, they're Zoomers, so they're kind of sometimes good at trolling. Which is another thing, because neoconservatives are such repugnant weirdos that it's interesting to see a group of people believe something that I think is fundamentally wrong and also demonstrably ineffective.
That might also reinforce them because they get a reaction. I mean, you saw Ace probably stayed up for 4 days straight arguing with them.
I know.
Like, I'm sure that they didn't they didn't get any of the content of Ace's arguments, but they did see the reaction, like the visceral, like just disgust.
Yeah.
And that probably reinforced. I mean, I know it does for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not a Zoomer, but when my enemies hate what I'm saying, I know that I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I still don't understand that urge. I'm going to need to understand that urge so that I can apply it. It seems like the warrior's urge. I don't know. Seems good.
Yeah. It's called being an alpha.
Neoconservatives.
It's called being based.
I'm based, guys. Bomb more kids.
You know what my brand is? Uh-huh. Based.
You know what is really annoying about... Actually, do you know what's really annoying about the war state in general and neoconservatives subsequently? Is that the war state is becoming much more efficient and not in necessarily in a good way, like still in a really like destroys whole cultures and lives way, but more efficient in that down on the ground, there's less collateral damage and casualty than there would be if there were boots there. And what's really fucking annoying about it is that neoconservatives smirk about this like it's a triumph, like drones are better than boots on the ground, which they are in some senses, but they go, and that's why the whole thing is good because actually these are more effective means of doing the things that are wrong in the first place.
We've lessened the collateral damage, so therefore our worldview is correct.
Right.
If we can have an empire and none of our guys die and only their guys die, then obviously we're doing the right thing.
I don't even know drone stats. I have a feeling there's a whole lot of side casualties to drone stats, but even if there wasn't, it's a whole idea that they're there in the first place, more so than that if they are there. Like, I'm kind of in agreement. Like, listen, if we had to go to war with a country, we should probably obliterate them. But, like, we probably also shouldn't go to war with them in the first place because that's just kind of better for everybody in most circumstances, you know?
Yeah.
I like to turtle up. Well, they'll call me an isolationist, and then they'll say, yeah, I want all the Jews to die in the Holocaust. Dude, these arguments... Like, I feel like there's only a 4-year life cycle on any number of kinds of arguments that exist. Because I remember coming into this movement and, you know, anarchists are Nazis was the thing that came up like earlier, like a few years ago. And then it was dispelled. And now it seems to be coming back again. And I just find it very confusing overall.
Yeah. I know you've been out of the game for Lent, but have you noticed the boiling differences between leftists and liberals is a lot more prominent now than it ever has been in my recent memory?
Yeah, definitely.
If you were to look at like it's any starting. Thread, any Joe Biden related thread, especially in the context of the stimulus, you can, and I talked with Pete about this, you can see like people with proud liberal in their bio just BTFOing leftists when they're like, oh, Joe said he'd give us $2,000, but we only got $1,600. Mm-hmm. And then a liberal will reply like, stop whining, you fucking dirtbag, get a job.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I don't know the age demographic of that group, but it's super interesting.
It's like middle-aged women are the liberals, and then like, you know, like 20-something-year-olds are always like, Bernie supporter demographic are always like more the leftists. Yep. It's
so
amazing.
There's like
to
a
see.
Whole there's a whole environment here, like
the
Biden.
That solidarity movement is definitely over now, or getting to be over.
No doubt. What I think is interesting is I overlooked that the movement probably was always very tenuous in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
There was maybe a month ago, Noam Chomsky, and then subsequently on a different episode of the same show, Slavoj Žižek, were both discussing voting and why you should vote and who you should vote for.
And they both came to the same conclusion that they disagreed with the first time around, which was the first time around, Slavoj Žižek said, vote for Trump. Because if you vote for Trump, you're going to create so many more radicals that when Trump is out of office, we have a genuine chance to establish, you know, socialism.
Yeah.
And Chomsky had always said, you can't vote for Donald Trump, he's a tyrant. You can't do that, he's a tyrant, he's gonna fix things his way, it's never gonna work out.
Yeah.
That was always Chomsky's take.
And that's now, that illustrates that the difference between a Marxist ago? and a non-Marxist leftist.
Leftist, right, leftist. Mm-hmm. Now, keep that in mind, and we go 4 years ahead, 5 years ahead to maybe a month ago, when after Chomsky does an episode and predictably says the same thing he always said, which was, maybe it wasn't a month ago, what am I saying? It had to be November or something like that. Chomsky says, you can't vote for Trump, he's a tyrant, obviously. We're not going to vote for him now. We had our four-year experiment to see if it would create more leftists. Whatever it did, it's not going well. We got to pull this. We got to pull out of this. I'll get to the part about actually voting for somebody next. But Chomsky basically says you can't vote for Trump. Slavoj comes in later, and he's hilarious because he hates Noam Chomsky because they've had Chomsky's an asshole and insults him. And Slavoj barrels in and he goes, "What did Chomsky say? What did he say?" And they go, well, Chomsky said you can't vote for Trump. And he goes, this time I agree with Chomsky. So even Slavoj was like, no, Trump is enough of an existential threat that we cannot possibly vote for him again with an accelerationist goal in mind.
Yeah.
It won't work, is what they were both saying.
Yeah.
So now the second part of this, I've wanted to talk about this for a long time because I what you said before, the difference between the two groups, is something that is becoming relevant in my own state. And I'll get to that after this. Now, the other thing is, why vote for Biden? Chomsky says vote for Biden because, and actually Slavoj eventually agrees with Chomsky. He says he agrees with him in full. The both of them basically come up with this idea that, first of all, Trump is too much of an existential threat, so we have to pull the plug on that idea. We can't do accelerationism there. What we can do is accelerationism with Biden. Once Biden is in office, we know he's only going to predictably do a certain number of things, which Trump would do either more of or more extreme versions of. Biden is less extreme. This is the assumptions they make. I don't know if they're true or not. You can have that debate in your own mind. These are the assumptions they make. And so it's easier in a Biden regime for us to push for social justice, for us to push for more socialism generally, to do all of these things in this space, which I believe is correct. It's easier to get your socialist policies. I used to agree with Slavoj. I consider myself more of an accelerationist probably than most other things that I could name myself. And I agreed with Slavoj, and I still don't know whether or not I agree with Slavoj and Chomsky now about what the right idea was, why, if you had to use your vote, who you should be voting for. And if you believe Donald Trump is an existential threat, then it would be better to use what you have than not to, is what they were saying. I don't know whether or not I agree with them, but it does illustrate where we're at now, which is in my own state, the governor is been very handsy. He's been very handsy, Andrew Cuomo, to say the least. And there's been a conversation about, well, if this is happening, you got to step down.
Yeah.
And you're starting to see, what you began this whole thing with was, you're starting to see that divide become very clear in a state that, if you're interested at all in the development of blue, specifically progressive politics, you need to be watching New York.
Mm-hmm.
This is definitely the situation where you're starting to see real divides come up and you're starting to see the Chomsky plan work, you know, because Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has already said you got to step down. And of course, she's funny because she's such young, but quite intelligent. I mean, intelligent enough to be able to run a thought movement. It doesn't seem to be that hard, but still.
that is now something. So she's a figurehead and she's taking that position. Andrew Cuomo has to step down. Biden and his office, they had Psaki going out there. Oh, I'm sorry. What is it?
Psaki.
You know what? I was listening to the episode when you were yelling Psaki at me as I was listening in post. I was cracking up because it was so tired. It was like, I'm tired of people not knowing how to pronounce Polish names. This is basically what it sounded like. It's an interesting hill. Psaki, they had Psaki go out there and basically say, no, Biden thinks probably he shouldn't step down and, you know, maybe there should just be an investigation.
Yeah,
and
it's an interesting development.
And what's so interesting about the development is in any circumstance where a man is accused of sexual harassment, there needs to be an investigation. The man doesn't have to step down. There has to be an investigation before he steps down because I have this personal innocent until proven guilty belief that I hold to. And so nothing should change with Andrew Cuomo in that sense until there is an investigation and something comes to light that he might have done something. But then you see the other side, which is it doesn't matter. He's been accused of it, so he must step down because he's been credibly accused.
Yes.
And that's the difference between the liberals, and I'm not saying I'm a liberal, but I'm saying a lot of liberals have basically said what I've said. That's the difference between the liberals and the prog leftists.
Yeah.
I don't know what
to
call that. Like,
you don't need to have an investigation. You just need enough pressure to affect a regime change.
Yes. You have to be an enemy. But of course, the weird part about it is
progressive leftists think. Actual leftists, not.
No. This I am too. I'm with you. I'm also thinking about how they think. You have to be an enemy. But cleverly, enemy is never defined in public. Mm-hmm. It's sort of like, for example, someone could have 10 sexual harassment allegations come up against them, and the entire prog left could stay completely quiet about it when it's convenient for them to do so. The liberals will do this too, of course, but it's the leftists we're talking about and why they would want to not stay quiet, you know? Mm-hmm. So the idea that they... I don't know, the whole they're not quiet about it is very telling to me. That there's this whole contingent of people who are like, because somebody accused you of it, you have to step down. And I don't think I don't know whether or not it's disingenuous, right? So you said enemies, and of course when you think, well, are they doing this because Cuomo is their enemy? Or are they doing this and Cuomo being their enemy happens to be the icing on the cake?
It coincides with opportunism. I don't know. I mean, opportunism is their strategy.
Yeah, there's something really weird about it, right? Like, that if this was, for instance, Joe Biden during the campaign, everybody would have shut up because of the idea of the existential threat of Donald Trump. Well, for some people, other people just because blue team, which is even more demented and weird.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you heard about Gavin Newsom getting recalled?
Not within the past two weeks.
They've been talking about it for a while because of his handling of the coronavirus. And the gist of it seems to be that the GOP members in California's power structure are calling for a recall. It could happen and he could be recalled and replaced with the lieutenant governor and then following an election.
Psaki said Biden doesn't support that one either, by the way.
Yeah, and Gavin Newsom, he's a kind of a establishment Democrat. He's definitely not in any sense leftist. And I'm wondering why leftists aren't kind of giving him the Cuomo treatment as well, where this is an opportunity for them to install a leftist regime in California. I know it's fun to say that California is like controlled by leftists. They're really not. They've like as far as the governor goes, they've always had pretty moderate governors. Pretty establishment governors. I think maybe Schwarzenegger was the last real populist they had, and that wasn't really anything to rave about.
It's very interesting, right? I think, man, I don't know. Like, I was going to say, so one of the big theories about this that I moved to but I'm not fully committed to is the idea that at least part of the turning on Cuomo is as a cover up for the nursing homes.
Mm.
And the only thing I don't really understand about that is, well, two things. The first thing that I didn't understand about it was, I don't see how that has anything to do with nursing homes. That someone could certainly connect the two, but it doesn't silence one because of the other. And I was subsequently, I think, at least proven, at least in some sense, correct, because there was a CNN article that came out recently. And the second line of this article, I wish I still had it, the second line of this article said, after being responsible for, you know, such and such number of deaths due to nursing home policy. That was the second line in the CNN article.
So
I don't, what is weirder is that CNN is taking that line. Now, here's the problem. I don't know who edited that article and if that passed through them. And I don't know who wrote that article and if they're a progressive rather than, you know, an establishment person. But the fact is, it's definitely not taking away from nursing home policy.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't read that article, but hearing you say that, I mean, I think that's just a nail in the coffin. Like I mean, he's not going
to, I think I saved the article.
He's not going to, I think just from that, just from CNN, get that getting through the editing process and being published, he's probably not going to last his whole term.
And if I happen to find it, it'll be in the description. But, dude, with the way CNN posts articles about this specific situation, it's very difficult, believe it or not, to find article, the one specific article I'm looking for. If I can find it, I'll post it somewhere, and I'll send it out, just evidence. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know, unless everybody thinks I'm lying. That it was, to me, even shocking to see CNN takes, and it was kind of blunt language. That's what was kind of shocking about it, was that the language that was used did not flower up the fact that, you know, it was federal policy that inspired his move, which is something that is done. They didn't flower up the fact that actually the you know, they do the numbers trick that Cuomo tried to originally do, which I think people are saying this is a cover up for, which, again, I still don't believe, because the article that I saw cited the appropriate number and not the number that Cuomo is using of nursing home deaths. So it was kind of mind boggling to me. I think the true fact of the matter is that, number one, New York is a lot more progressive, I think, than people think. It's starting to feel that way, at least. But number two, Andrew Cuomo is despised in New York. And so, because, number one, it was Paz who said this part. So, because, number one, Andrew Cuomo's hated, people don't like this guy at all. And then what Paz was saying was, he's also an enemy in the establishment sense, and New York's problems basically become the country's problems because New York has superior media control.
Yeah.
And so this could be being blown out of proportion in the sense that it could be reflecting a larger problem within the Democratic Party than there actually is. Or you could go the exact opposite and say, these are the tiny cracks opening.
Yeah,
and we're just getting to see them on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And that's more so what I think I believe, is that this can't possibly stop with Andrew Cuomo.
Yep.
It can't.
Yeah, I think that now that Biden's been installed, they can work on kind of fixing their own house. And by fixing, I mean, kind of like what the LP's doing. some purges here, some fucking...
That's right. they will... The Prague Democrats, who have very little genealogical attachment to the Democratic Party as a whole, but have a lot of value in using the name of the Democratic Party to push their policies, will be 100% willing to burn every establishment bridge and blow up every establishment building necessary for them to take power so that they can use the Democratic name in a new, clean way. 100%. Yep. And that's what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Good, though. I mean, it's good strategy.
It's populist leftists. It is. I mean, that's straight out of the book.
Yeah, it's funny.
Use the party that represents the workers' interests to take power.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting. It's working. I mean, I don't know. The problem is the overall Marxist goal will never
No, it won't.
I think we passed that part. But you know what? Anyway, here's what I really want to say. It is really interesting to see that it is working right now. That things are smoothly sailing. If you're of the political persuasion that says major parties need to break so that my tiny, weird, radical party can take over, mm-hmm. things are looking interestingly for you. You know, whereas yeah. at least during the middle of Trump, you would have been, like, fucked. You would have been like, there's no way. Trump's yeah. too... You remember, like, 3 years ago when Trump was, like, right before the midterms, Trump was basically the king of the Republican Party, and it was only after the 6th of January where it really fell apart. Like, yeah. it really fell apart. He was king for a little while. You could never imagine taking over the right side of American politics with a third party during that period. Now yeah. it's seeming like because Biden is losing it a little bit, on top of the party losing it a little bit, it seems like you might, if you're on the left, have some room to move in. And if you're an accelerationist, you know, take the tools that are at hand and push social justice and all the things you like. And that's what they're doing. That's what they said they were going to do like 4 years ago. And because of the circumstances, it's happening to play out before our eyes in a very interesting way. Good on them, because it's real political strategy in a very interesting way from a group that, listen, ultimately, what's going to end up happening if the Chomskyites take power is the country is going to collapse. And yep. whatever.
Yeah. Who the fuck cares?
Whatever. Nobody's going to be able to run the show with that kind of a playbook. Are you insane? The system will never be built that way. Capitalism will never allow for something like that. It's going to be smooth sailing. Mm-hmm. I don't care. And so it's really funny. It's yeah. incredibly funny.
Yeah, they'll, I mean, once they start talking about nationalizing Amazon, then, you know, yes. you'll be glad that you have Bitcoin.
And yeah, and then it stops factor. Becoming accelerationist, and it starts just becoming, like, state socialist. Like, it's not accelerationist yeah. anymore. Like, hey, guys, I thought the whole point was to get to a hierarchy-free anarchist society.
The tolerant left, am I right?
That's the same thing. Yeah, I don't know. I thought we were supposed to get to that point. And it's like, actually, no. Now we've
as you're
mandated,
being handcuffed
now we've
and led to the boxcar.
And you're going to jail. Yeah, that's where they keep you. It's terrible. It's really, really strange. This is why I was reading the Accelerationist Manifesto, a document that I definitely recommend people read. It is leftist accelerationism, which is the first kind, and then you got your weird Nick Land Deleuzian semi-right-wing kind, which he doesn't even believe in anymore. And then you have terrorists, like right-wing terrorists, who are also accelerationists. And then you have people like Ted Kaczynski, who are pretty neutral on the alignment spectrum, but mostly terrorists and also definitely accelerationists.
Read them all.
You have lots of, it's a very varied, read them all, read them all. It's a very varied group.
You can't
and
go wrong.
They all turn me off in different ways. And one of the, for the Accelerationist Manifesto, the leftist version that turns me off in particular, is the fact that if you read the thing, there's the constant sense that at some point we're going to break class apart so much and destroy class so much by using the instruments at hand that we have for us that are designed to destroy class, that one day things will simply flip and class consciousness will explode into a revolutionary sense. But after going through a process of being completely disseminated by state capitalism and other forces like that, somehow it will come back, coalesce, and flip over, and we'll be on top. That is what, as I read it, seems to be the great end goal for the left accelerationists. And to that, I you know, if I was Corey, I would say to keep two hands on the wheel, because there's no fucking way you're going to do that. That's insane. It's a ridiculous thing to believe. But that's ultimately the goal for me when I see progs, right? Someone like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, I think, probably holds Noam Chomsky in very high regard and would
absolutely.
Listen to Noam Chomsky if Noam said, hey, you should consider doing this. She would probably say, assuming that it at least somewhat lined up with her worldview, she'd probably say, good idea, Noam. I'll put that into effect. And so what Noam wants, assumedly, is that we get to a, at some point, we can call something called anarchism. So that means that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez at some point in some small tiny way acknowledges that someone she deeply greatly respects has an ultimately anarchist end goal.
So what does that mean? All that I think it means is that they don't become anarchists. They just use anarchist rhetoric in order to get their own weird bougie prog thing to come across. But I also think in the process of doing that, they're going to use Noam Chomsky's methods, which are designed, at least in some sense, to dismantle systems rather than establish weird bougie prog ones. You know what I mean? So it could be good. It could be good if the weird lefties take over.
Yeah, I mean,
it won't be.
I've said it before.
We'll all get accused of abusing people and we'll all be in jail.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I would be gassed instantly.
Instantly. Yeah. Your Twitter account being disabled, which, by the way, your Twitter account being disabled would be the same thing as your symbolic death in your social credit system. It would be the same thing in their world.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm fine with that. I mean, every time I get nuked, it's like nature healing itself. I get up to around 2,000 followers. I stop caring, start getting a little cavalier, and then I get nuked.
Yeah,
and that's just the cycle.
You know, and it's funny. I can every time, Aaron, I can see when you start to get too cavalier. Mm-hmm. I can tell. There's a moment. There's like a tick you have where you're like, all right, I'm gonna wreck some shit, and it's alarming because when it comes out, it's like, oh. There it goes. There goes the account. And now do you
call
remember
my PR firm.
You when I was uploading tweets for the project that I do, there I looked at the boys chat and you had said this one's going to get me banned. And it did. It did get you banned. And I saw it and I was like, that one's going to get you banned. Do you remember which one it was? Do you still have them?
For that, you know what? I might. So I reset my phone. I do that like every year or so. But let me see if I have it. You can cut out the wait for editing and post. I remember which one you were talking about. Was that my account before? Go fuck yourself, asset management.
This most recent ban. You posted a few tweets from a few days before you ended up getting banned where you were like, I'm definitely going to get banned for these. So do you still have those pictures of the
suspended tweets,
the ones that they cited?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Please, there's one of them. Send it in Twitter and I'll edit this all out and I want you to read the one that killed me. It was intense. It was really intense.
Yeah, it was... I said, hope they make me the camp guard that gasses you.
That, dude...
I said, your obese transgender half-black grandkids are going to load you onto a train car, and you'll be too busy yelling, imagine if white people did this, to notice the gas coming out of the showerhead. This one actually wasn't in that thread with the white nationalists.
Stop.
This was something about...
Wait.
Something about journalists being Jewish.
Wait.
Like somebody complaining.
Wait, hold on. That those tweets were directed at white nationalists?
Yep. Yes.
The fact that you're just saying these with such a straight face is so irritating to me that you're saying these with a straight face. You're not cracking at all. It's incredible.
Somebody was talking to me. One of the white nationalists was talking to me about how Xi Jinping is going to take over America and make sure that the camps get set up. And I said he would need the fatherless fat white woman vote in order to manufacture consent to gas you. Who do you think tells fatherless fat white women how to vote? It's not you, buddy. Hope you like the smell of Zyklon B, mayo monkey. So the best part is this entire time, they thought that I was black. They really thought that I was a black dude. They were calling me like Jigaboo and like saying like, oh yeah, well maybe when your neighborhood stops killing each other, then we can finally have some progress.
Jesus.
They really thought that I was black, and that was the best part.
This has got to be it's got to be a progress.
Somebody mentioned something about like welfare.
Jesus.
Yeah, I said, if you look at the deductions column on your pay stub, you'll get the answer. Vote harder next time, mayo monkey. Your cracker ass is still putting my kids through college. Oh. I said, he's talking about, this guy kept bringing up the Chinese. I said, okay, we'll let you keep your anime body pillow and watch The Office and Cracker Auschwitz, but you have to shut the fuck up about the chinks, deal?
Keep two hands on the wheel.